Tonight our Bible reading is in the Psalms, the Psalm number 27. And we're going to read together these 14 verses, Psalm 27, commencing verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Because of mine enemies, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Bonner. And today we're turning to this Psalm 27 to find our encouragement in the Lord. There's one thing that we can all agree upon, and that is that human nature is very fickle. And that applies to the born-again Christian, perhaps even more so than the crude and rude ungodly. The Christian who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit becomes very sensitive. Our consciences are very sensitive to the law of God, and there is a longing that we might have grace to do God's will and to obey him fully. When we fail or break his law, and therefore sin, we are greatly grieved. We're also grieved when people point the finger and say to us that we are not even a Christian or not worthy of the name of Christian, or when someone criticizes our acts, words, or deeds. And so, in a sense, the born-again believer, the professing Christian, sets himself up for hurts and for trouble. And sometimes it's our own inner hearts, the witness of our own spirit, that condemns us. And, of course, that means we need to realize our need to lean on the Lord. We need to run to him for fresh grace, fresh power, and fresh cleansing from our sins, to keep a short list of sins and make sure that we do business with the Lord each and every day, that we might gain his strength and his favor. Today's message is all about finding our strength in the Lord. And I hope that you will learn how to do that, and let this Psalm 27 become very precious to you as you seek to walk with God
and live as an overcomer in a world where we are destined to hurt and to inner issues of the heart. May the Lord bless his word to you today.
Now, you know, little children, how upset they can get whenever a brother or someone says something nasty and they come running to mom and dad and they're crying, "He said this to me and I am hurt." Now, we as Christians don't be wimps. We need to pray for strength. We need to pray for grace to be overcomers, to be victors, and to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And so when the ungodly criticize, and it might be a family member, it might be one who was a dear friend, and then that gets really tough, and it can't just rub off or run off, it really strikes you in the heart. But you have to tell yourself, this is what the Lord has called me to endure. And I've now got to pray for my enemy. And I've got now to withstand these hostilities and to be strong in the power of the Lord. And that means we need to pray against our fainting fits. What about it? Would you come to the prayer meeting and pray, "Lord, strengthen me to withstand the mockeries of men." The whole church united in prayer, encouraging, praying for one another, that we don't buy the foolish vanities of the world, and we don't bow to their criticisms. We need tough skin. We need to be strong in heart. We need faith that is stronger than the criticisms of men. And so here was the cause of David's fainting. Now, we move to the trust in God's goodness. Look at verse 13. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." David would have crumbled, but his faith was in God's future goodness. That's the Christian's hope. "Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord." And he believed that God had purposes of good. Do you know that verse in Jeremiah 29:11? "I know my thoughts toward you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a desired end." God has only thoughts of good for his people. That's true. That's real. That's substantial. Everything God has in store for his redeemed people is good. Romans 8:28, "All things," now notice, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And if you are a Christian, you can say with David, God has a plan of goodness. Now notice that it's also a present favor. The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's this world now. Now, it's kind of a blanket statement to say, well, when we get to heaven, it'll be worth it all. But even before we get to heaven, this life here now for the Christian, God has purposes of good. He will lead us in a plain path and in a good way. The psalmist said in 23:6, "Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so the Lord has a plan of good for his people. And in the covenant of grace, and you Presbyterian, Reformed theologians ought to know, when we're talking about the covenant of grace, it's the all-encompassing, eternal plan of God to redeem God's elect, bringing them into an estate of grace and one day glory. Everything in that covenant plan and arrangement is good. It includes our salvation, our sanctification, and one day our glorification. And the Lord has promised that he will present us to the Father spotless in glory. Now, we don't trust in the vanities of this world. We don't trust in the arm of flesh. We don't trust in men. Oh, if we do that, we will find we will be terribly disappointed. But the goodness of God, who can fail it? Who can deny it? Because God is essential goodness. Essential goodness. He's always good all the time. Didn't we learn that from our brother Chester Matandiga? No, not Matandiga. Chester is his name, from Philadelphia. He was from Liberia. And that's how our church ended up with a mission station over in Liberia. He fled the country, came to Philadelphia, received a leaflet, a gospel leaflet on the street by one of the members of the church there, ended up coming to the church and kind of a connection. And this man, Chester, his statement was, God is good all the time. And he'd come through a lot of rough, tough things that he had to leave the country for. And yet the Christian can praise God that he is good. And of course, God cannot lie. He's good. His word, his promise is absolutely sure. And he's the God who never changes. He never changes. Now, I thought on Solomon's big statement at the dedication of the temple, when he said, at all the promises that God gave to Moses, not one word failed. Not one word failed. And one day we will look back over our Christian lives, maybe when we get to glory, maybe even before then, we will look back and say, not one word of God's good promise failed. Because we believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And you say, is that always true? Is that really true in the trials and troubles of life? What when you have cancer? What if you have tragedy in your life? How can you say that God is always good and he is always working with a perfect purpose to bless us? Perhaps you've already heard this very famous poem. It's called, One Night I Had a Dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to the Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said you once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one foot of footprints, it was then that I carried you. There's good theology in that, isn't there? I know it's a poem, but there's good theology in that. And when we get to heaven, there will be a story told of God's unfailing goodness to every one of his people. Now, knowing these things, you'll notice in verse 14, there is then the command to us, wait on the Lord. And here we are to determine, and the Christian must be determined about it. It's a command, it's a duty. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, I like parallelism, especially in the Psalms, because it helps us to understand what it means to wait on the Lord. Can you tell me what it means to wait on the Lord? It sure doesn't mean just hang around. It's not just doing nothing. It's not just hoping against hope. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Well, look at the next statement. You have a doubling of the truth here. Be of good courage. And David, in his troubles, encouraged himself in the Lord. There was one particular event at Ziklag where the enemies had taken their wives, their stuff, burned the village, left nothing. And David came back to a very desperate situation, and he is told that he encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, there's going to be a day when you get a phone call, or someone will sit down and say, you need to sit down and I need to give you this news. And it's going to be horrible and difficult. And as a Christian, you need to know where to go and what to do. And you are told here to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Put it another way, play the man. Paul the Apostle put it this way, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. You see, we are members of the church militant. And that simply means those Christians on earth who are engaged in a continuous war against evil and the enemies of Christ. We are putting on the uniform of a soldier. We are fighting a battle. We are not just to give in as wimps at the first shot that's fired against us, but we are to engage in the battle. Now, waiting on the Lord means to be filled with expectancy. God's going to do something. You're waiting for God to intervene. And this, as I said, cannot just mean standing around. Now, in verse 8, how did David do this? Look at verse 8. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. There's the determined waiting on the Lord. And if you look at verse 3 through 7, you will see that he expected God's protection from his enemies. And he expected that he would find strength. Because the promise here, and here is the promise, verse 14, and he shall strengthen thine heart. So when we feel weary and weak and nigh unto fainting, we must redouble our efforts in God's word and prayer. Instead of diminishing our devotions and our times with God, we should be setting ourselves to seek God's face. And the amazing thing is that when you feel least like praying, and you do anyway, that those are the moments when the Lord comes and revives you. There are prayer meetings in the church that you sort of feel you have to drag yourself in. You have to fight the old battle. Oh, I'm too tired. I don't think I could sit through a meeting. But you get there. You get there. You even have to rush your food. You rush the drive. You get there. And when you are in that meeting, even in that frame of mind, the Lord revives your heart. It happens. It works. God revives. And God calls us to ask him to revive us. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Now, you'll notice that it's doubled. Doubled in one verse. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. What's the remedy? Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so when people come to the pastor or a counselor for encouragement and guidance, the first question should be, did you pray about this? Did you take this problem to the Lord? Did you try to work it out on your own? Or did you take it to the Lord? Wait, I say, on the Lord. That has to be the answer. And Jesus said it, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So there's the antidote. If you want to be strong in the Lord and kept from fainting, and in those times when you feel so inadequate and so weak, yes, on Monday morning for the preacher, or maybe it's after Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher sitting in church, and you say, oh boy, that was an awful Sunday school time. Those kids didn't listen to anything today. And you feel a failure. Well, those are the times when we need to seek the Lord. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap. What a great encouragement this is to us tonight. And when you're down, what do you do? There's two things the discouraged Christian needs: a hymn book and the book of Psalms. And I tell you, you sing when you don't feel like singing, and you meditate and pray when you don't feel like praying. And this verse will come true. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. The hymn book and the Psalms, they're like medicine to the weary soul. May the Lord use it in your life, and you find it true over and over and over again. 457 is our closing hymn. Day by day, with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. 457. Let's stand to sing, please. Father, we thank thee that your grace is unfailing, and thou art good all the time. O Lord, strengthen us in our fainting fits. We pray for your grace to us, your spirit to fill us, and your joy to fill our hearts in our homeward journey tonight. Bless us in the week to come. Watch over thy people. keep us in your love and care, and may the grace of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon your people now and ever. Amen.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I said to one of my colleagues just recently that you need to pray for a thick skin and a short memory. Christians are called upon to forgive their enemies, and we are to be strong in the Lord. Now, that does not mean that we have no feelings. Oh, the Christian has perhaps the most sensitive of heart of all. But we need to pray that we become overcomers by recognizing the reality that we live in a sinful world, we live in bodies that are imperfect, and that we sometimes are too sensitive, too quick to think that someone's trying to pull us down. There has to be within us an attitude of giving the benefit of the doubt and taking it to the Lord in prayer. And then God gives us the victory. Let's do that right now, just to take our heart's needs to the Lord. Father, we thank Thee that there is a place of sweet release when we come to Thee in prayer, that Thou dost hear our petitions, but You also heal our hurts. And I pray today for my fellow brothers and sisters, believers in the Lord Jesus, who are smarting from so many things, the discouragements that come upon us. And sometimes it's our own fault. Sometimes it's the fault of an unthinking brother or sister who are just too sharp with their words. And it cuts, and we are wounded. And so I pray that You will give us a thick skin and give us a short memory, that we don't live with scars and wounds and hurts continually, but that we are given power to serve Thee as good soldiers of the cross. And I pray, O Lord, that You'll put a song in our hearts and that You will give us that wonderful encouragement that we read of here in Psalm 27. Thank You, Lord. We ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.